Hi. Hi, everyone. I'm Veronica, if you didn't already know. And I have a really strong passion for my friends. Now, in the last talk, we heard that being a Christian means believing in Jesus Christ and shaping our entire life around that belief. A big way we can grow closer in our relationship with Christ is through a group of people or friends who share like that exact same belief that you can always depend on with that. A lot of us here in high school, right? Now, I go to Deland High, and I'm on the swim team. So that's one of my communities that I'm a part of. So that means I practice with the same people 5 or 6 times a week, almost 2 hours every single day. The only reason I hang out with them is mostly just like common interests, like, well, we swim, I'll be friends with you guys. Now, your community of faith may be different from others, but they all share like a really similar belief in Jesus. So I'm not saying you have to be friends with us cool Jesus freaks, but like, I'd highly suggest it. Again, we meet people and hang out with them because of several different things. Maybe like their personality or just who they are in general, or you just like their company. Now, my community of faith has quite a few people in it, most of them sitting here right now. I've been good friends with these people for over a year now, and I wouldn't change them for the world. Yes, there's been a few downs, but we have a lot more memories that are really good to outweigh the bad. One of my favorite things to do with them is pray together for our meals because I'm with them like more than half of my day. Also, we all go to Mass together when we can, and we try to sit up in the front to try to soak up that holiness. No matter what happens, I know we'll always be friends, leading each other closer to Christ. And we don't let anyone feel left out. Like, yeah, we say stupid things, yeah, we say funny jokes, but these are my people, and I agape love them so much. All of us in our group really like that sense of security in being with that group of people where you can share something really important, and you won't get judged for it. Now, there are the regular friend groups that you share, like common goals, interests, the people you go to school with, or friendships. Like, you know those friends that you're friends with because of another friend you made, you like barely know. It's complicated. But this group right here has the added ingredient of having Jesus Christ at the center. I'm going to quote someone very dear to my heart. He once said that Jesus Christ is kind of like the mitochondria of the group. Just thought I should let you all know that. Jesus Christ is the glue that holds us all together. He's kind of like the reason for us belonging. So as he began teaching, one of the very first things he did was gather people to follow him. Now I have a story to tell you guys. It's called The Call of Simon the Fisherman. And it goes, "While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked them to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch.' Simon said in reply, 'Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets.' When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They came and filled both boats so that they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, 'Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon, Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.' When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him." He performed some amazing miracles, right? He sparked interest in several people, so they're like, "Oh, I want to see more," so they followed him. Now, he was still fairly new. Well, Jesus, his teachings were fairly new at this point. So he seeked people from different backgrounds, simple men that were like kind of not shy, but just not overly popular. Now, continuing throughout the ages, he continued to bring people together to be a sign of his love. He told the world to love your neighbor as yourself, but to his followers and disciples, he said, love one another as I have loved you. These disciples formed what we know as the first Christian community. Bless you. They believed that Jesus was very special, so they followed trying to imitate the way he lived and he loved. His love that he shared is what bounded them together. They continued even after he left them. The early communities would come together to retell the story of Jesus as it had been passed on to them. They shared the good news and spread it around, growing in their faith, and pretty soon new small Christian communities were beginning as far as the eye can see. They were so ecstatic, they began to share stories of their own to anyone who was willing to listen about Jesus or even how he changed their lives. They spoke about how they each experienced the power of Jesus in the good and in the joy, but most importantly, the disappointment and the suffering. To me, the Bible is one of the most epic love stories. I mean, yes, I've seen romance dramas like Home Again or The Notebook or anything like that, but the Bible shows so much more and goes so much deeper. To me, Jesus is kind of like my superhero. He's the type of person who would invite that one lonely kid to his table. Also, he could heal the sick, and he forgave those who asked. But most importantly, he forgave those who rejected him, and he loved them. He still does, so even if you're a rock, just know Jesus collects rocks, and you're his favorite. His story would not be what it is today if it didn't have a community. For it is impossible to be a Christian alone, because without your community, you can't love. The biggest reason he calls us first disciples is to love. He calls us by name to love. He brought us here to love, and guess what our purpose is? To love! That's how we experience God, for he is love. But it does call for a commitment of belonging to and a responsibility for one another. Most of our friendships are based on give and take, but here in this group right here, we are called to unconditionally care for one another. A special thing I believe me and my community does is have the ability to never let anyone feel left out. We all spend quite a bit of time together, like I said, around half my day, maybe even more sometimes. Now, since we spend a lot of time together, we share a lot of personal information, good and bad. But if you have the right people in your group, then it's not hard because you have that sense of security that you can trust them. Now, I'm going to tell you guys a story. A while ago, I was really stressing out. I had a lot of homework, and I couldn't focus, and I couldn't think about anything. And I tried hiding it from one of my friends, and he told me that everything was going to be okay, and I just needed to pray about it. And not to hide it from anyone, because they're always going to be here for me. And I try hiding things from my friends, but it's really hard because it doesn't work. My other friend saw me worrying, so she told me to read this verse before going to bed, but I really wanted to share it with you guys. So it's Psalm 23:4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow and death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. So, another community I'm a part of is the DeLand High IB Club. It's kind of like college level classes, but in a high school community, which is really, it's quite challenging. So I kind of spend a lot of my time there, and I get really close to my friends, and they really help me out with just like my daily struggles. And I have this teacher who I wouldn't say I hate her, and I wouldn't say I love her. She's also my swim coach, by the way. So the other day, I skipped her class, but not skipped, like my mom checked me out, so I could finish her work in my class. Like, you know when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so behind, I have to get it done. So she checked me out, and the next day I see her at swim practice, and she says, you skipped my class. That's not good. Your test is going to be harder next time. So me being my emotional self, I cried a lot and a lot, and I prayed really hard. So my prayer worked. It motivated my mom to motivate me to do my work. So I spend a lot of my time doing stuff, which I said, like, I don't have time for anything. I'm always so busy that I never really have any time for myself these days. Now one night I did, and I started to cry. Like, man tears, it was that bad. I tend to hold my emotions in way too often, and I try to tell my friends as honestly as I can, but even with the greatest of friends, some things are just a touch, like, too touchy. I know that I can depend on them because they're my community. We have that sense of unconditional love for each other. And in those types of communities, there should always be that love and acceptance, not based on how we look or how we dress or what we do or even how well we do it. We are free to be ourselves because our real selves are the ones that will be accepted. To me, nothing feels better than being able to open up to an amazing group of people, knowing that they won't judge you and knowing that you'll be loved and accepted. Sometimes you don't want to have to break that outer shell that you have, because I'm just going to go on a limb here and say about some of you still have that outer shell, which is totally okay. I know it can be really hard accepting the different people you meet, like that annoying girl in your class, or that weird boy, or whoever you want. But there'll always be that one person trying to break your shell. You'll have to find the goodness in people and break beyond the good chemistry. To do this, we have to make a commitment to trust openly and freely with each other. It is because of that commitment that we belong, and because of that, we are responsible for one another. Now, when I first came to Antioch, I was a little eighth grader, and I didn't really want to come. Like I really didn't. My sister kind of invited me. She's sitting back there. She kind of invited me, and she was like, "Hey, you should totally come to Antioch." I was like, "I don't think so," but she dragged me anyways. And I can honestly say it was one of my best weekends ever of my life. I met a lot of amazing friends, and I made some really unforgettable memories here. And I met my confirmation sponsor here. Now, in jumping back to middle school, I was the type of person to jump from friend group to friend group, not really putting myself out there, giving any effort. Until I got to high school, then I met these awesome friends here, and that I spend most of my day with, so I can trust them a lot. But coming to Antioch personally has changed my attitude about a lot of things. I used to hate some things about myself, but now I've learned over the years to find the positive people who care about you, not for what you do, what you wear, what you look like, but who you really are inside. Because some people can be brutal. I used to be friends, with people that used to make fun of me, all the time. Sounds kind of crazy, right? Now I asked around to see what people thought, what the word, best friend means. Well, not really best friend, just friend. Some people said that it was someone you could depend on, or someone who will always forgive you. But I think the real true meaning of friends are your comfort zone. You can be totally honest with them, and you can tell them everything. And it doesn't have to just be here. It can be your grandma, your uncle, your cousin, or even that nice lady you see at Walmart sometimes. I've definitely become more open to meeting new people, and I love making new, I love making new friends. When my friends came on this Antioch retreat, I was so filled with joy. My heart was bursting. Now, my friends are not the only people in my community. I know I've been talking a lot about my friends, but my family also plays a really big role in that. Now, my parents don't really go to church. They will if I go or if anyone needs them to go. But they're like my rocks, my strong hard rocks. They really care for me, and I know I can tell them everything because my mom always prays for my family because Lord knows we need it. I've started to pray for my community more, and ever since I've been here in Antioch, I've changed. I'm a new person. I believe in miracles, and I pray way more than I used to, and I made some awesome friends for life. Kind of a key thing we do here is every Sunday we meet here at 5:30 Mass, and after we kind of meet here, and it's kind of like a mini Antioch weekend, but in an hour or 2 hours. It's really fun. Now, if I could, I would like to end in a quick prayer. So, yeah. Jesus, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share what it is like having these amazing friends. Thank you for giving me these amazing candidates, and I pray that they come back hearts ablaze. And I pray that you set their hearts on fire this weekend. Yeah, amen. I said Holy Spirit. Yay.